This is CliffCentral.com.
God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Hello, everybody, and a warm welcome to the Open Book. I love that song. Come on, we're going to make sure that that song is on the podcast. A wonderful song there by the legend himself, Mr. Don Moen. Well, it is the 24th of March today. We are one day to go before Good Friday, probably known as the holiest weekend, of the year. And now for those of you who are looking forward or who are looking forward to an Easter show, well, sorry for you, but you can go to Cliff Central, to the Cliff Central app, or go to cliffcentral.com, and you will find it there because we did one actually just last week. So it is actually right there. So if you go into the app, just under the heading, the Open Book, and you go to podcasts, you will see Truth About Easter. It was a very interesting show. I didn't only just have Pastor Gary Rivers and Mark Cunningham, who are, you know, one is a well-known pastor and one is a well-known gospel artist, but I also had Adrian from the SA Pagan Council, because at the end of the day, you know, if you call ourselves the Open Book and we want to be transparent, we've got to hear about Easter, the origins of Easter from all sides. But today, I have a special show lined up for you. Now, here is the story. Over the past 2 days, I've had the great honor and opportunity to be in the company of someone who's undoubtedly one of the best worship leaders of our time. You just heard a song from him. It's called God is Good All the Time. I even saw Gareth Cliff just outside dancing, including Sia himself. Now, if they're dancing, he surely is one of the greatest gospel artists of our time. His name is Don Moen, the name that you should know. So what happened is that a few days ago, we actually shot a music video for a hymn that we did. And the song is How Great Thou Art. It's a very well-known hymn. And so we did this duet for my upcoming album, which is going to be released in May. Remember that, released in May, my latest album that's coming out, gospel album. And the album is called Kingdom Come. So while I'm on that, if you are a South African MTN subscriber, you can dial *123*150#. That's *123*150#, and you can get the song as a caller tune. I'm going to play the song later on in the show, just before I depart. Nobody has the song as yet, but you'll have a chance to get it before anybody else has the show. Now, what happened is, I had the opportunity to interview Don Moen for a new talk show that I'm hosting for TBN in Africa. Yes, peeps, I've got a new show that's coming on TBN in Africa. And the show is called the TBN Meets. And man, lucky me, because Don Moen happens to be my first guest. But I couldn't wait for for Friday, the 6th of May, when the show will be aired. So the good people of TBN in Africa, Channel 343 on DSTV, they've allowed me to air this interview right here on The Open Book. How cool is that? But before I do that, please allow me to just introduce Don Moen to you. There's some facts that you may know, some facts that you may not know about him, but just so that you get, you know, a good idea of who Don Moen is. Don Moen has been a leader in the Christian music industry for more than 40 years. That's even older than me. And a successful Christian artist. He has written over 100 songs, and most of these songs are sung at churches all over the world. I mean, you know what? Don Moen is a huge star in South Africa. But in Nigeria, he's even bigger. There's a concert there that takes place at the end of the year called The Experience. And they kind of have the best artists from all over the world coming on there to be part of this experience. And Don Moen happens to be the headliner. Comes on there with his piano. He starts to sing and everybody just goes totally crazy. That's how big he is. Now, he has also led worship in every continent but Antarctica. That's all right. I mean, what is there to do in Antarctica apart from skiing, I guess? And he has also produced and directed hundreds of successful albums. In 1993, when I was part of the Drakensberg Boys Choir, he reminded me of this. He said that he went to Rema to produce one of the albums. And I was like, really? I was actually on that album as part of the choir. And the Drakensberg Boys Choir, we were special guests on that show. Now, with all these achievements that Don Moen has had, if you ask him why God put him on this planet, he'll tell you the following. He says, I'm none of the things, I'll never define myself as any of the things, Lloyd, so that you've just introduced me as. But my goal is to be an architect who designs products and events that help people experience God's presence in a new and fresh way. That is going to be our guest today on The Open Book. So please join me right after the break as I chat to the Dove Award winner, Don Moen, right here on The Open Book, Cliff Central. Let's hear a song from it before we start.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the whole.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to you, sir.
great to be here.
Yeah, welcome to Africa. You're here quite a lot, though, so I hear.
Yes, to Africa, the continent, we've been a lot. You know, did a lot of work up in Nigeria and Ghana, and I've spent a lot of my life in South Africa in the early 70s, you know, 72, 74, wow. 76, and 78 with a group called Living Sound. So, yeah, I have a real history with South Africa in particular.
I mean, you know, the thing is, you just came from Dubai.
Yeah.
And now you're in South Africa. We're doing a project together.
Yeah.
And then from here, you're off to Lagos.
Yeah,
and
tomorrow.
Apparently you were somewhere else last month, somewhere else in the world. How do you do it? I mean, how do you travel so much? And especially like, you know, through different time zones.
Yeah. You know, traveling, I don't think it never gets easier, and time zones are something you deal with. You drink a lot of coffee, and just keep going. But we were in Dubai. I sang seven times in Dubai.
Wow!
At six churches prior to our concert there at the Dubai Tennis Stadium, and then came down here to work on our project together.
Yeah.
I go to Lagos a lot. We're there for Easter weekend, and then be coming back in a few more weeks. But yeah, that's where I sowed a lot of seeds for many years. Just when I toured the world, and now that I'm free to tour, I mean, that's my audience, and the world's becoming a smaller and smaller place. It's a global village. You know, so I'm thrilled to be doing what I'm doing.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hopefully I can be like you one day when I grow up.
I hope you can stay home a little bit more.
No, I mean, you know, you spoke about going strong earlier on, and you've been doing this since the 70s. You released your first album in 1986.
That's correct, yeah.
That's a long time ago for me, and I don't know even if I would still have the energy right now to do it. So surely there must be another motivation that keeps you going, keeps on doing what you do.
Well, if it was about, if it was just about touring and singing, I think I'd much rather stay home. But what we do as worship leaders, what I'm trying to do is create an atmosphere that welcomes God's presence and gives place to His marvelous works. That's what we do. That's what I'm trying to do. And Psalm 22, verse 3 says, God is enthroned in the praises of His people.
Yeah.
And so every night, when we do that, we're just trying to build a throne with our praise, and God meets with us in new and fresh ways. There's an element of artistry, and yes, there is an element of entertainment. You know, when I pick up my violin and play the fiddle on God is Good All the Time, people love that. But ultimately, my goal is to just connect people. Maybe it's that 1 minute, maybe it's 2 minutes where they just connect with a living God, and to me, that's worth it all, and that's the only thing that keeps me going, and seeing lives changed, seeing people healed, seeing people saved. And many years ago, before I ever led worship, I was awakened in the night. I heard a voice. It's the first time in my life I've ever heard this. And as somebody said to me, turn to Psalm 40, verse 3. I'd been praying about my music, and I'd praying about what I was writing and how I can write songs that affect people in their deep in their spirits. Yeah. And I got up out of bed and I opened my Bible. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, I have put a new song in your mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
And was that the start of it all?
Yeah. And I said to my wife the next morning, I was ordained into something last night, and I don't even know what it was or what it is yet, because I hadn't led worship. But God had put that, just this seed in my heart, a desire for the presence of the Lord and to create something that welcomes His presence and changes lives. Mm. And a lot of times I think, Don Moen singing is not enough. I need to become a preacher and a big evangelist, a God's man of faith and power. And I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit said, no, just be Don Moen. Don Moen, just be who you are. And your piano is your pulpit. That's kind of what I've, all these years, that's what I've tried to stay true to that calling.
I think, you know, I think that's so wonderful, because a lot of budding gospel artists, you know, people who wanna minister through music, it's as if, like, you know, we need to come back to that simplicity.
Yeah.
To that place of saying, you know what, all it is, it's about inviting God into the space so that the people that we're singing to can have an experience, not with us necessarily, or not with us at all, but really with God. And I just believe that the fact that you've, you know, God has sustained you for for all these years. Someone earlier on said that when Don Moen is 150, he will. That was great because you know, and just from that, I just learned that God is, you know, that God will sustain you.
Yeah.
If you just keep to the simplicity of making it about Him,
and not so much about
yourself.
We're both producers, and we love production. I love production. I love the technology, but the people that come into a concert or come in, especially to our churches, they don't need another production.
Yeah.
I think we should use all the technology we have available to us. I'm a strong supporter of that, but we can't let that drive the moment. All people need is a connection with a living God. That's what's going to change their
lives. And that's going to be much bigger than them having a connection with us.
Yeah, that's right. So if we can be a facilitator
to
connect people to God for that moment, here's what I've learned over all the years, that God is always working in ways that we cannot see. Sometimes you look out at an audience and somebody's sitting out there like they're this kind of, and it used to really bother me when I'd see somebody just grouchy. But you don't know what they've been through last week.
You're so true.
You just don't know. They could have lost their job. They could have lost a loved one. They could have gone through a divorce. Anything could have happened. And they just don't feel like jumping up and being real demonstrative. So I just realized that even though they may not look like they're completely into what we're doing, I just know that God is always working in ways we cannot see. And I'm comfortable in the fact to let God do what He wants to do. I don't have to force it to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely love that. I want to go back to knowing Don Moen, you know, the story that people don't actually really know. Now, you kind of spoke about the fact that you started in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then I read up that your first album was in, what, 1986?
Uh-huh.
It was. How did you even get into, you know, into singing gospel music?
Well, it was, first of all, I was trained classically. Never did, you know, I sang in a couple of choirs, but I wasn't a singer. And I became, when I was traveling with Living Sound, I became a bit of an arranger.
Uh-huh.
Started writing a little bit of music. And when we lost our vocalist, we couldn't afford to travel with a big team of vocalists anymore. I would sit back at the piano and say, sing this song with me in this little mousy voice. And I was so scared. And I think the people in the audience thought, that poor guy, he can't sing and he can't play. We better worship with him quick. So that's how it kind of started.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was, but somehow my my records started selling, my CDs started selling. First one we recorded was Give Thanks.
Wow. Yeah.
And I found that song. I didn't write it. I found it in a little church in Texas. I began singing it, and I kind of made it my own. And I remember Integrity Music was just getting started then.
Yes.
And they said, we'd like you to lead worship on one of these projects, and let's call it Give Thanks. And it could sell as many as 50,000 units. And now it's sold way over a million or maybe 2 million, but it just started so small.
Does it ever just surprise you?
Yeah, it does.
That so many people would, because...
No, it surprises me all
some,
the time.
You know, there's some friends of mine who do the experience in Lagos, you know, every year or so,
right.
And they would say, yeah, all these guys come, it's like the biggest artists in the world, and they jam, but then Don Moen comes on, he plays on the piano, and the whole place just absolutely erupts. And you told me, when was it yesterday, you said... Yeah, it just amazes me just how.
Yeah. Well, I the first time I went, that was in Nigeria. The first time I went there, they had to convince me. So many people called me and said, "No, you need to come and do this thing. You need to come and do this thing." And I looked at the roster of people who were going to be there: Fred Hammond, you know, Ty Tribbett, Israel Houghton, Donnie McClurkin, Mary. B.B. Winans, C.C. Winans. It's like, you don't need Don Moen here. What am I going to do? So I intentionally, and they all had their bands.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not even going to bring Kirk Franklin. All these, they were all there, and they all had, you know, 15, 20 people traveling with them. And it's like, I can't compete.
Oh, I should have brought more people.
I can't compete. So I'm standing on the side of the stage about to be introduced, and I'm seeing a couple hundred thousand people out there. And I thought, I've made a big mistake. So... But I just brought a guy playing guitar, singing tenor, and a girl that sang alto in my piano.
Yeah.
And so I went up. It was my turn to sing, so I went up and just checked to see if I could hear the piano sound. And 100,000 people started singing one of my songs over here on this side of the arena. So I just started following them. And then some people over here started singing the next song, so I followed them.
Wow.
That was pretty much my set.
Wow.
And it just, it was funny because... When we got picked up at the airport on that trip, I remember I'm intimidated by all these artists, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, there's, you know, it's like, so we're driving in our cars from the airport, and there's this, I see a huge billboard up in the, you know, by the side of the road. And there was my picture way up on the billboard, and it said, Don Moen at the Experience with... T.D. Jakes, C.C. Winans, B.B. Winans, Fred Hammond, Ty Tribbett, Mary, Donnie McClurkin. I said, you got to be kidding. I remember just sinking down in the chair of the car thinking, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but you know, but that's the thing, because...
C.C. Winans looked over at me and said, who are you?
Are you serious?
It was funny.
But that's the thing, you know, I think whenever you see your name, it's people celebrating you, you always think that there's an expectation.
Yeah.
That you have to perform, but you know, kind of forgetting that it's been the grace of God that has brought you to where you are, and that is going to be the grace of God that is going to push you forward.
Yeah.
Don, you place great emphasis on worship not being just about the music, but about worship being a lifestyle. I want to hear it from you. What is worship?
You know. Well, worship is a lifestyle. It should be, and sadly, in the last, with all the you know, labels coming up, and the worship labels, and the you know, the new music we have, people automatically think worship equals music, and music equals worship. So let's have a time of worship. People automatically think songs, but worship is way more than the songs we sing, and it's how do you treat your spouse? How do you relate to your coworkers, your fellow students, your children, your parents? I mean, this is the lifestyle of a worshiper. And, oh, by the way, we also come together and we offer a song of praise. We put all the emphasis, and I was a president of a label for 20 years, and so I was finding the songs and finding the artists, and I love that, but yet the emphasis became so much on the music. You know, Jesus said in John 4, the Father's looking for worshipers who will worship what? In spirit
and in truth.
And in truth. So my question is, what is worship in spirit and in truth? And if you look at the life of Jesus, who I think was saying to the woman at the well, look at me, I am a true worshiper, worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. What did that look like? Well, he invested in the lives of 12 men. Well, he was approachable.
Yeah.
He was loved by sinners. You know, sometimes as worshipers, you know, we don't want to touch those people there. We have our own little Christian group we stay with. But Jesus was loved by sinners. He went where people had great need. And strangely, he didn't talk a lot about music. Mm-hmm. And we've got a whole industry.
He had a great voice.
Yeah.
But
but like
that wasn't necessarily.
Only one time in the Gospels do you hear when they celebrated the Last Supper, said they sang a hymn and went out.
Wow.
And yet you know they sang and stuff, but there was just no big emphasis on music, but there was a lot of emphasis and talk about worship.
Mm.
So worship is more than the songs we sing. The songs of praise that we offer, yes, I love doing it, I want to write more, I love worshiping with song, but worship is loving your wife. Worship is loving your children. Worship is reaching out to someone in need. Worship is being a servant. You know, all these things come together, and that's the way we should live our lives through the week. Mm. And then when we come together as a community of believers, why not offer up a song of praise and think how much more meaningful it will be if it's coming from a lifestyle of worship all through the week? I mean, if you're a different person on the stage than you are at home with your sweet little daughter and your wife, they're going to say, what? Daddy on stage seems like this great, wonderful guy, but at home he's mean to us.
Yeah.
I want to be the same daddy and husband at home, and so the kids know that's my real dad, and yeah, he goes on the stage and he does this as mm-hmm. well. You know, so got to keep it real. Worship is...
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. One time I got up really early in the morning to play and to write and just sing a little bit, and when we started having children, it was harder and harder for us. Because I'd get up early, and no matter how early I got up, my two little boys would come running in the piano room, and I wanted to say, hey, go wake up your mom. Dad's trying to have a time of worship here. And I just thought I heard the Lord say to me, Don, the best worship you can offer me today is to fix pancakes for your boys and let your wife sleep.
Wow.
So that's what I'm talking about, a lifestyle of worship. Let's keep it real. And then when we do offer a song of praise, how much more meaningful.
And I think it's gonna really just come from the heart. Just as you're speaking, I just remembered a verse. Is it Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it speaks about, you know, it speaks about the fact that we need to offer our lives as a living sacrifice, which means that it's our eating, it's our walking, it's everything.
Yeah.
And then it says, you know, this is your true worship.
That's right.
And
if we do that,
it boggles my mind every single time I think about it.
That's right. And we somehow in the last 20 years we just focused that word worship has become, oh, let's have a time of singing.
Mm. But it's so much more than that. But then what happens is that someone says that you become a public success but a private failure. And we're like,
don't want to be there. Right.
Now, I mean, speaking of worship, you also run a charity called Worship in Action.
That's
which is exactly what you're speaking about.
That's correct.
These are not people that you go and you sing to,
right,
but these are people that you serve.
Right.
Can you tell us about worship? Worship in Action, right?
Worship in Action, So it's like, so we have two arms. We have the Don Moen production, which we create, you know, products and tour and stuff. And then we have Worship in Action, where we try to serve the poor. We support an orphanage in Ghana, 200 children there. When the earthquake hit Nepal, we try to serve there. The Zika virus, we're trying to help there.
Wow.
Anything that we can do to reach out and practically and tangibly touch people with God's presence and His love. See, that's a good definition of what true worship is. Mm. You just said it, but it's offering our lives, everything we have, as worship to the Lord, and that means our ability to serve. And so Worship in Action, I hope it grows and grows and grows, but worshipinaction.org, we're working all over the world with that.
And
piece.
People can go on there and they can donate, they can be part of this movement.
And it's important that they go worshipinaction.org, or if you even go to donmoen.com, or Facebook, Don Moen, you got to go to the right Facebook page. So there's about Every day there's another 5 Don Moens out there. They put
okay.
my picture.
Have you got a tick though, Neil?
It's Don Moen parentheses praise and worship leader, but it okay. has about 4.5 million people.
So
that's
the right
official
one.
Page. But some Don Moen that has 10 friends, and he's asking you for money for an orphanage. It's not me, you know. But yeah, so we're trying to move forward with both arms, the production arm and touring arm, and the ministry arm.
You know what? And this is really just sort of minister, I think, to just many musicians out there, because we always think that, well, I sing at my church. You know what I mean? That is my form of worship. But the truth is, that is a gift that God gave you.
Yeah.
But as much as we use it to serve, I believe that if there is another need for us to do something else, that we should always step out and do that, and not just think, oh well, you know, I'm already a worship leader.
Yeah.
Serving others is worship. If somebody needs a glass of water, if there's a guest,
yeah.
it's important for us to treat them well and just not say, oh, where are the ushers? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because we've all been given the means to serve others.
Yeah, and I think that's what we come together as a community of believers to worship and to touch God's presence. We need to then walk out of our churches into the world and take the presence of God and touch somebody in a tangible way, in a practical way,
yeah.
with God's presence. A friend of mine was handing out Bibles in Russia one time. People were freezing. They were starving and freezing, and he was going handing out Bibles, and ladies told him, "Get out of here. We don't need your Bibles. We need food." And it's like, it
wow.
stunned him, but it's the truth. You know, they don't need a Don Moen CD. Here, have a new CD. I just recorded this new CD. No, they need simple food and shelter and clothing and love and care and medical help. Once you do that, they may eventually sing a Don Moen song. But see, we got to have both sides of it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, serving and loving and sharing God's presence in a tangible, practical way.
Absolutely. Worshipinaction.org.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can go on there and really just support the great work that Don Moen is doing outside of his music. I wanna kind of come back to your music for a
yeah.
second. Now your songs are sung all over the
yeah.
world. How do you write? I mean, can you tell us about one or two of the songs, that just the process that you took in order to as you wrote these songs?
A lot of my songs are prayer songs. It's my prayer. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence.
Mm.
That's the first scripture I ever underlined in my Bible when I got saved as a 12-year-old boy.
To a specific situation.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how one word from God
yeah.
can speak to us in so many different situations.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. So any more songs that we can expect from you?
Oh,
we'll speak
expect
about
it. Expect from us. I mean, I want to keep writing. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's kind of it's a scary thing to do sometimes too, because I always wonder, am I going to dig down and the well's going to be empty?
Yeah.
What's going to be there? I mean, you just did your new project, so you went through the whole writing process.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be out soon.
Yeah.
Which was a bunch of praise.
Yeah, that's right. You were
a bunch
kingdom
of
come.
Praise,
you were,
kingdom come.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a prayer.
It's a prayer, yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's my prayer. Yes, let it happen, Lord. Let your kingdom come.
Absolutely.
And we had a chance to work on this this duet.
Yes, we did. So just for those of you at home wondering what we have been talking about for the past however long, Don and I have just done a song together, which is a hymn. I don't like to say old hymn, because I believe
right.
all hymns are fresh.
Called
How Great Thou Art. And it's actually currently available for people to download on the digital platforms. What do hymns mean to you? It's got just a short amount of time.
Yeah.
We're going to have to just wrap it up.
Well, the hymns, my father, who just turned 90 years old
yeah.
2 weeks ago, he's Lutheran, you know, confirmed in the Norwegian Lutheran Church, very conservative. And he says to me, Donnie, sing the hymns. The people like the hymns.
Yeah.
And it turns out Dad is right. A hymn brings generations together. It brings cultures together. It brings all musical variety together. But I mean, people can come around to him and they say, okay, we all know this. It's a common denominator.
Yeah.
And how great thou art. What a great song of praise, a hymn of praise.
Mm.
So hymns are going to be around forever. And you don't want to mess around with them too much. You want to stay true to the hymn.
Mm.
And what did you say this morning? You don't mess around with hymns or national anthems.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the things.
Exactly. Because and then you said that because they are not, somehow people feel like they have ownership of them.
Yes,
that,
like, it's a sacred trust kind of. Yeah. You don't mess around too much. But,
so you keep it like that. But you know what? So I want to just thank you so much for coming. I believe that, just like hymns, that you're going to be around forever.
Amen. I'll receive that.
But your songs are going to be around for eternity. You know, it's the kind of songs that I believe that we'll be singing at churches.
Amen.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours. This is CliffCentral.com.
Very huge, huge thank you to Don Mowen and the team at Content Connect Africa, who have really just made his trip to South Africa a possibility. I've had great fun with him over the past few days. Just want to let you know before I introduce the song that to catch this interview, that you must absolutely make sure that you catch this interview on my new TV show, which is going to be on TBN. The show is called TBN Meets. So make sure that you tune in on Friday, the 6th of May at 6:30 p.m. Friday, 6th of May, 6:30 p.m. You haven't gone out. I don't think there are any church services on a Friday evening. So make sure that you tune in Friday, 6th of May on TBN in Africa, channel 343 on DSTV. So now, as we end off our show, here is the song that Don and I did. It is available, by the way, on MTN as a caller tune. Remember to dial *123*50# to be the first one to get it. How great thou art. Thank you so much. And we're not here next week, but we'll be back after that. But I'm sure we'll have another very interesting podcast up for you. Thank you. And here is the song, How Great Thou Art, by Don Mowen and Loyiso. That sounds so cool. Love you guys. God bless.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.